Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again, Sheffield Live, and it's Deserted Island Discs. It's the show where we talk to people each week who have a love of Sheffield, and we try and get people with a love of Ireland as well, or people born in Ireland, but we've kind of seemed to have run out of those people, but it don't matter. We've got loads of interesting people to go for, and one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life is here tonight. It's Mr. John Naylor, John Granville Naylor, to give him his full name. Hello, John.
Good evening.
Can I get a job introducing you?
Do you know when Annie used to tell me off my wife, who sadly no longer here, she used to say, John Granville Naylor.
Yes, your full name.
Procedure to tell me off.
Well, which I can't believe you get told off, John.
Oh, yes, with alarming regularity.
Yes. So, John, we're going to talk about your life. We're going to try and squeeze it in the hour. And what we do is talk about your life, and we punctuate that with music choices that you've picked for us. And also, you've brought your guitar in, so John's going to sing live for us at some point in the evening. So, just to skip to the end a little bit, though, John is the lead singer of an amazing jazz swing band. Is that they're called Dizzy Club. And John's been in that band for many, many years, and still playing live now. They played live last week, and you've got a couple of gigs in the summer. Are you playing Leopold Square in the summer?
We are playing Leopold Square twice, yeah, and we do all sorts of work. We play whoever's prepared to pay for
that's us. Fair enough. Well, we're going to spend, hopefully, quite a bit of the show talking about Dizzy Club and how you formed and where you're at, but we like to start at the very beginning. So tell us about your beginning, John, and where you were born, when you were born.
I was born in Rotherham. I had a lovely childhood, I suppose. I've got three fantastic sisters and a fantastic mum, or I did have a fantastic mum. Yeah. We grew up in a big house in Kimworth in Rotherham.
Yeah. You're the oldest, John, aren't you?
No, I'm
you're
the
not
second
the
oldest.
Second oldest.
My sister, our Jane, our as Jane. I call her, our Jane. She was the she's head girl. She was head girl at Rotherham High School. So my other sister still refers to her as head girl.
Head girl. Yes.
Yeah. I had a lovely childhood. I was lucky enough to go to a public school, Birkdale in Sheffield.
Okay.
When I was 12. My mum had a sweet shop and my dad had a toy shop.
Fantastic, so, wow.
How fantastic is that?
That's not bad for a kid, is it?
No, not really.
And the women run after you as well. So, your three sisters. Well, and your mum.
I used to get out of all the washing up. But I'll not expand on that, but I was a bit of a cheeky chappy with my sisters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're still a bit of a cheeky chappy, would you
am
say?
I? Right. Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
But what was it like, Rotherham, back then? So what year were you born, John, sorry?
1958 in December. Right. So I'm getting on a bit.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. You know. But what, so you kind of suppose you were in, suppose, tail end of the 60s when you were kind of getting to 10 years old or so, but you were in Rotherham in that era, and it's different to it is now, I suppose?
Do you know, I don't go very often. My mum lived in
Wickersley.
For years, lived in Wickersley, yeah. Yeah. She had a lovely house with Don, my stepdad. They had a great life. She used to come and watch and listen to the Dizzy Club all the time. She loved it. She was a piano player herself.
Yeah.
She doted on the Dizzy Club, not just me, you know, all the members of the band.
Yeah.
She was our number one fan, I suppose. She was a great woman, and she brought me and my three sisters up we're all lovely people. I'm so lucky to have three sisters, that have made their own way in the world.
So. Yeah, well, she did a very good job. If it was just you, John, she's done all right. Yeah, but I was trying to get a sense of what the childhood was like. So it was a big house in Kimberworth. And so Kimberworth, it was like, there's a big council estate in Kimberworth as well.
Yeah, we lived in Kimberworth Village. We were lucky that the village is, well, where your partner, she was from Kimberworth Village as well.
That's it. No, Tracy, we should say that's how I first met John. So I've known John about 15 years, I'd say, but it was my partner Tracy that first introduced us. So thank you, Tracy, for this introduction and making this night possible.
Well, that's another card, isn't it?
What was that, sorry?
Tracy.
She's a card.
Yeah, she is.
Well, we might get her on the show. I've asked her a few times to come on the show, so we'll try and get her on. In the future as well, whatever that'll be. Good night, Tracy. Okay. There you go. Official invite. There it is. So, let's talk about how you first got into music, John. So, it's a big part of your life, obviously.
Yeah, well, the first time, as I say, my mum was a piano player. We always had a piano, an upright piano at home, like loads of people did, I suppose, because before the, you know, everybody had a piano, or everybody, before the Second World War, everybody played a musical instrument, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They had to make their own fun, didn't they? And we had a piano, and I was sent off at the age of 8 to play to Mr. Spencer down Bradgate Lane. And played the piano for a bit. He wasn't really suitable as a teacher of young boys and girls. Let's put it like that.
Okay. I think I get your drift. Yeah.
So we stopped going to him, and then at the tender age of about 12, I discovered the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
But because my mum couldn't afford to buy me a guitar, the only access to a guitar I had was my friend, John Tyus, he was called. But I could only borrow a guitar for an hour or 2 hours at a time.
Yeah.
And because I'm left-handed and he was right-handed, I turned it upside down and learnt it the wrong way around.
Wow, amazing.
And I still play it.
Still play upside down.
That way, yeah. I did restring one many years ago and learnt it the other way.
Yeah.
But I was that far down the road.
Yeah.
Playing it upside down that it just stuck with me, really.
It's just easy to do the original way.
Well, it is. It has, in some ways, it has held me back.
Yeah.
Because I can't... I can't.
You can't stretch your fingers.
Well...
you can't play the chords a right-handed person.
Well, yes, I can, but sometimes I have to do a slightly different inversion.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can do it.
We'll see. We'll see in a bit.
Yeah, you will.
Let's find out. Well, first of all, we're going to play your first song choice. So you picked Air on a G String, yeah.
Yes. Well, when excuse me, when I was at Kimberworth. My friend Nigel Whitehouse, his father, I used to go around to their house, and I heard this piece of Bach, which I think was released in about 1969, and it's a famous French pianist called Jacques Lussier, and he took pieces of Johann Sebastian Bach and played them as a trio with double bass, drums and piano. And he turned the classical world and the jazz world upside down. Mm. And even though I couldn't play anything like this, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
And the other thing that blew my mind at that time was a TV programme called Public Eye. And the introduction music was a muted jazz, and it was a muted trumpet, and it was jazz.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
You know. And that was my introduction to the world of jazz, and it's stuck with me ever since.
It certainly has. Let's play it. Lovely that, John. And a G string, more commonly known as
the Hamlet advert.
Yes,
with for all you youngsters out there,
there's no youngsters, John. There's no youngsters.
it was used in an advert for Hamlet cigars, and the actual person who even Ben didn't know this. We've just been discussing about it. It's about a photo booth, and it features Gregor Fisher, which is
went on to
become Rab C. Nesbitt.
There you go.
So when the show's finished, go on YouTube and ask and search the Hamlet advert, because it's absolutely fantastic.
Yes, we are. I'm sure if you're of that age, everyone will remember it when it was a classic. Sure, I very much so.
Yeah.
So back to you, John. We've not got very far, have we? So we're in your life. But your school days, so you went to the private school in Sheffield.
I went to Birkdale, yes.
For a bit. And then came back to Rotherham.
Yeah, and then my mum and dad split up, so they couldn't no longer afford to pay the school fees for me to go. So I think I was there about 2 or 3 years at Birkdale. It was great. It gave me a... It taught me how to look after myself and how to make myself think in a different way, I think.
Yeah.
But then I had to go to Kimworth Comprehensive.
Right.
So I had to learn how to look after myself.
How to fight.
yes, and things like that. And then I discovered, because obviously Birkdale was a boys' school.
Yeah.
So then I discovered the wonders of women.
Oh, okay.
Or girls, you know.
Well, it's a family show, John, you know.
Yes, I know, yes. Well, that's all I'm going to say. I was just about to say I found them interesting.
Yes, yes.
And different to boys. And I still do.
Yes, okay, John.
but I had a great form. My teacher, my form teacher, was also our French teacher. And he had a great name because he was a French teacher and he was called Mr. Garlic. Alan Garlic. And he had one of those sweep over hairdos, you know.
yeah.
He only had
going
long
bald.
Hair at one side. And when we used to play football against the teachers, you know, he'd run down the wing and this hair would be flapping.
Bobby Charlton, left,
very Bobby Charlton. But I loved it, the fact that he was called Mr. Garlic and he was my French teacher.
Yeah, very good. Very apt, yes. So, but did you do okay at school?
Yeah, I did all right, yeah. And then I left there and didn't know what to do, but... I knew that I didn't want to stay in Rotherham, so 3 days before my 17th birthday, I left home and went to live with a guy nearer Sheffield, but then I got into Northern Soul.
Oh, yeah.
Which I absolutely loved. Discovered soul music.
Yeah.
Which is, well, I'm still... Love it so much, and I think I've got one track by one of my greatest heroes.
Yeah,
and
we can play that next when you finish your story.
Okay,
we'll play that next.
You know, I just discovered it, and it was kind of the open door for me to get into jazz in another way.
And
I used to go to all nighters, Samantha's, Wigan. Cleith Hopes. These were the first raves, I suppose, if you like.
So what is this, the 70s, is it? Or
yeah, late 70s.
Late 70s,
getting up to no good.
Yeah. So obviously we've heard of, like, Wigan Casino was the big place. And so was that kind of place, so you went to?
Oh, yeah. Wigan Casino was great.
Yeah.
And there was two rooms there. There was a modern room, which was the biggest casino room. And then there was another small room called Mr. M's, which played older soul music, if you like.
Yeah.
It was like Wigan Casino was like, there was another one in Nottingham Pally, I think they called it, and it was a huge room and it had a balcony all the way around, apart from the front at the stage. So it used to be packed and it opened, I think, at 10 or 11 at night, and it went all the way through to 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
And, it's all making a resurgence now.
Yeah.
The Northern Soul scene.
Yeah, it's always
really
been there.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. Hot stuff. And bye.
Could you do the dancing, John? Could you do the...
Not really, no. I used to like talking to the ladies.
Oh, yes, this is a bit of a theme.
Yes, I did though. You know. And I remember once being at Wigan Casino, and I really was.
I'm worried about where these stores are going.
No. Well, I said I was after this girl from Tibshelf, and I kept seeing her, you know, every fortnight or whatever when I went, because it was a long way.
Yeah.
Wigan from Sheffield.
How'd you get there then? Did you have...
Well, eventually I had a car, and I persuaded this lady from Tibshelf to come.
It's on the way, isn't it?
Out into the car park, and you know, let's have a kiss and a cuddle in the car.
Right.
Anyway, she relented about 4 o'clock one morning, and I said, come on then, let's go and have a kiss and a cuddle in the car. And when I got into the car park, someone had nicked my car.
Oh, no.
So she turned round, stuck 2 fingers up, and I went, someone's nicked my car.
To be honest, John, I'm quite glad, because I didn't know how that story was going to end, so I'm glad that your car got nicked, to be honest.
Should we put Bobby Womack on now?
Bobby Womack. So this is... you introduce it. Why have you picked this one as possession?
Well, I've kind of picked songs that are quite popular songs of the artist, and this a lot of people will know this, and it's a great song from, I think the album's called Home Is Where the Heart Is, and it's a song called Across 110th Street.
Brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you're put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free. Across 110th Street, woman trying to catch a trick on the street. Across 110th Street, you can find it all in the street. Ooh, oh, oh. I got one more thing I'd like to talk to y'all about right now. There's a better way out. Shorting that coke, shooting that dope man, you're copping out. Take my advice, it's either live or die. You got to be strong if you wanna survive. The family on the upper side of town will catch hell without a ghetto around. In every city you'll find the same thing going down. Harlem is the capital of every ghetto town. Let me sing it. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, wishes won't let the junkie go free. Oh, across 110th Street, a woman trying to catch a trick on the street. Ooh, baby. Across 110th Street, you can find it all.
Bobby Womack, 110th Street. Thanks, John. That's the choice of John Naylor, my guest tonight on Deserted Island Discs. John is a fabulous lead singer of the band Dizzy Club, and we're getting through his life quite slowly, really, isn't it? But it doesn't matter. We could be here for another week. We could watch on doing your life. But we've just got you out of Rotherham, I suppose, and you'd moved to... Where did you move to? Then near Sheffield?
Yeah, near Sheffield. And then I moved to Hillsborough.
Yeah, yeah.
128A Oakland Road.
Okay.
Yeah, me and John Keenan, who's still...
That's one of them terraced houses, isn't it? Is it?
No, it's a big Victorian mansion at the top of the hill.
Of course, sorry. Yeah. Oh, sorry, John, thinking you'd live in a terraced house.
Yeah, I only had the bottom floor, and it was £18 a week rent.
So John is your mate from Rotherham, is it?
Yeah, John, yeah. He's still one of my best friends. He's not very well now. He's a couple of years older than me, but he went to De La Salle in Sheffield.
Yeah.
And we met on the train back from Sheffield when I was at Birkdale.
Yeah.
And he kind of took me under his wing and looked after me. And we've been friends ever since. And he's a real fan of soul music and Northern Soul and jazz.
Yeah.
So we had something really.
Did he go to
common.
The Wigan Casino or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We all. Well, it was party central in those days. As I've said before, it was the first raves. You know, I remember my mum saying, "You go dancing all night."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, mum, we do. Yeah, Really?" And now, obviously, 2 years ago, they had at the Royal Albert Hall, they had a Northern Soul Night.
Yeah, okay.
Which is still talked about now. It featured the BBC Concert Orchestra and six singers, and everybody was so blown away by it all because what fantastic music it was from America.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, and it was coined Northern Soul by a guy who founded a cinema just up the road from here called the Anvil Cinema, and I can't quite remember his name. Dave Godin, that's right, Dave Godin, and I think they've put a blue plaque outside.
Okay.
It's where it was below the Grosvenor House Hotel.
Yeah,
that's where the Anvil Cinema was.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was. Like here, this showroom cinema here is very similar to what the Anvil was
many years ago. It's a bit more alternative,
They put on a lot of independent films and everything, and all that was down to Dave Godin. Dave Godin coined the term Northern Soul.
Northern Soul. And it was, I do want to talk about you, John. We haven't got time to wander off But just to say, the Northern Soul meant Northern England, wasn't it? Was that the North? Because that's where...
It was, yeah. I think the first Soul club was in Manchester and in Stoke-on-Trent. I think the first one was called The Torch.
Twisted Wheel.
Twisted Wheel. I think they've resurrected it now, haven't they?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think
so. My mum used to go dancing there, though.
Right.
Back in the 60s. So
Well, I wasn't old enough for
No,
that.
No. But can we talk about you, John, please?
Right, okay.
you're living in this house in Hillsborough.
And
the music hadn't really... It got in hold of you in terms of playing and singing at that point, is that right? You were serious about getting an income, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And then I met the mother of my children, or who would become the mother of my children, and I had two children and obviously had to make a living, and I got into business, and I got into manufacturing windows and doors and glass and everything.
Yeah.
And I did remarkably well.
Yeah.
Too well, really. And I ended up having a big business that employed over 200 people.
Wow, yeah.
Obviously, because I had two daughters, one daughter in 1979 and one daughter in 1982, I had to earn, you know, a living to look after them.
Yeah.
But I was very successful in business and was in business with a couple of other guys, but my heart wasn't in it, I don't think. But I was in business for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And then I lost...
So you had big... I believe you had big offices, like, just on Division Street, is it?
Yes, my factory and everything was the Forum.
Yeah,
where the Forum
which is now the Forum now,
Yeah, in the 80s, from about 82 till 93. And that's where I met my wife, who sadly just passed away.
Annie.
So I've had my life, in the last 4 years, is really, I've had some tragedy. I lost my youngest daughter, Leanne, to ovarian cancer in 2021. Then I lost my mum, but my mum was 93. And then sadly last year I lost my lovely, beautiful wife called Annie Naylor, who was only 62 when she passed away.
Yeah.
As you know, she was your partner's best friend.
Yeah, a lovely, lovely woman. And there we all were. Now, you've had a very tough few years, John, and I know you don't want to dwell on it too much tonight, but I think it might be fitting if you played the song you're going to play, which was, I think, one of Annie's favourites, where I'd been round your house, John, and Annie would say, play that one, wouldn't she? Is that okay to play that one now?
Is that what you want me to do?
I'd like to.
Of course, yes.
Right. So
but there's a bit. I'll just have to do a little shout out to my granddaughter at the moment called Tilly Wild. So shall we dedicate this to Tilly Wild?
To Tilly Wild as well, yeah. So yeah, she's listening. Okay. Hello, Tilly.
I think she is. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a Labby Siffre song, who is a gentleman from Africa, and Madness had a hit with it, a big hit. But I remember it as a beautiful ballad that was performed, and Labby Siffre had a hit with it, and it's called It Must Be Love. I never thought I'd miss you half as much as I do. I never thought I'd feel this way, the way I feel about you. Soon as I wake up every night, every day, I know that it's you I need to chase the blues away. It must be love, love, love. It must be love, love, love. Nothing more, nothing less. Love is the best. How can it be that we can say so much without words? Bless you and bless me, baby. Bless the bees and the birds. Soon as I wake up every night, every day, I couldn't be happy any other way. It must be love, love, love. It must be love, love, love. Nothing more, nothing less. Love is the best.
Fantastic, John, Mr. John Naylor. Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, it's great. So that's for Tilly and Annie. Yeah, well done, John.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And Natalie.
And that's Natalie. Anyone else who knows you?
Well, Natalie is because, sadly, I lost my youngest daughter to ovarian cancer. My eldest daughter, Natalie, decided to do something about it. And she now is someone who raises the awareness of ovarian cancer and has been to do talks at the Houses of Parliament and been for tea, I think, afternoon tea at Buckingham Palace. So she's really doing a lot to promote this.
Amazing. No, she's done great, hasn't she? Yeah, she's done great.
This hidden killer, they call it, yeah. Like pancreatic cancer in us men.
Yeah, I'm doing some good out of that.
Yeah.
Tragedy, isn't it, that happened to you and the family there now. So, well done. Well done, Natalie, and everyone involved with that. But, yeah, we're more than halfway through, John.
Oh.
We need to carry on with your life. I'm interested to think about and talk about when playing music and singing became more of a part of your life. So you hadn't really focused on that in your, so in your certainly early 20s, you were kind of focused on business, but you must have been playing as a hobby, guitar.
Yeah, yeah, I've always played guitar. But I lost my business through one thing and another. And I thought, what am I going to do now? And I decided to try and pursue a musical career.
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to go to a great pub in Sheffield called Fagin's when it was all the Irish sessions. And I met Mike, my double bass player.
Yeah.
Not my double bass player, but the Dizzy Club's double bass player. And a guy called Patrick Walker.
Yeah.
Who is a very well-known, fantastic violinist and guitarist in Sheffield. Who lives in Croatia now. And we got these jazz standards.
Yeah, can I just go back to that kind of form? And I'm just trying to picture it because people who don't know Fagin's, a lot of people will, but Fagin's basically is a pub where musicians would go and kind of do sessions and often jam and still do. So you just be going in there with on your own basically, or you'd turn up with a guitar.
I'd take exactly the same guitar I've been playing tonight.
So this is in the early 90s, is it?
Early 90s, it was primarily an Irish folk session.
Yeah, so there'd be fiddle players.
But they'd
let you join in.
Yeah, they did. And this is primarily an Irish show, and that was primarily an Irish session pub, but kind of anything goes in there. And if it's good, and you know, I played and played and played, and some of the songs that we play are not the easiest songs to play, but you know, we mastered them. And Mike, our double bass player, who's a master of music, and Patrick, who's a
genius
musician. We got together and we decided to form a band.
Yeah.
And because at the time we liked smoking funny fags.
Okay.
We called ourselves the Dizzy Club.
Okay, that's why you call it Dizzy Club.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, it goes with the territory, doesn't it? Jazz.
Well, I think so. Yeah.
So you started a band and you started to get gigs and so you're doing jazz.
Yeah, and we used to play, there was a wine bar called Mr. Kites, which had jazz on every night, and we got gigs there with the great Bob Hudson, who is at the moment in hospital, but he gave us gigs and he became another lifelong friend of mine, and he taught me all sorts about jazz, about all the jazzers, we used to get paid £10 each for playing and a case of beer.
Wow.
But we got more gigs out of there than anywhere.
See, it's good people to see you play and go, will you play my wedding? Will you?
And, you know, we played clubs all over, and it kind of mushroomed from there, Ben. You know, and but we all have fond memories of playing in Mr. Kites.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the top
wine bars
yeah.
in the country.
So it's the Green Room now, isn't it? As people,
it's the Green Room, yeah.
So just on Devonshire Green, yeah.
But it was in the heyday. And obviously, because I used to have my business where the Forum was, I knew it intimately.
Yeah. And you play, I mean, well, let's play, can we play Egg Pond? That seems to fit, does it, at the moment, for this one?
If you want, yeah.
So we'll play Egg Pond, and then we need to talk, we quickly run out of time, but we're going to talk about some of the highlights of Dizzy Club days next. So,
okay.
So why have you picked this one, John? Egg Pond, Mr.
Egg Pond, because I was introduced this by a Scottish guy. It's by a cool West Coast American musician called Michael Franks, and he's it's just the coolest music, and I still play it to this day, you know.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Right. Egg Pond.
Yeah.
Explore the land of yin. I always take one on the chin. And now this lioness has almost made me tame. I can't pronounce her name, but eggplant is her game. The lady sticks to me like white on rice. She never cooks the same way twice. Maybe it's the mushrooms, maybe the tomatoes. I can't reveal her name, but eggplant is her game. When my baby cooks her eggplant, she don't read no book. Got a Gioconda kind of dirty look. And my baby cooks her eggplant by 19 different ways. Sometimes I just have it raw with mayonnaise. About 19 different ways. Sometimes I just have it raw with mayonnaise.
John, lovely. Egg Pond, Michael Franks.
Great artist.
Jazz. Innit? There's about 30 seconds left on that
is there?
Track, and it's just him going, proper jazz. So, yes, my guest, John Granville Naylor, he's coming towards the end. We've got 15 minutes left, and we've not really spoke about the Dizzy Clubs tonight on Deserted Island Disc. So, tell us about... So, if people have never heard the Dizzy Club, how would you describe them?
Well... different, I suppose. It's kind of acoustic swing.
Yeah.
But we have either three. We have usually four vocals now.
Yeah.
So we do four part harmony.
Yeah.
With a lot of our music, the current lineup is. Possibly one of the strongest we've ever had.
Yeah, some fantastic musicians.
We have Michael Fleming on double bass and vocals, who was the master of harmony, I suppose you can say. He does all the arrangements. We have the wonderful Chess Sheridan on guitar, who's been in and out of the Dizzy Club for a number of years, who plays with Richard Hawley. We don't have any slouches in the band. We have Ryan Taylor, who I've known since he was 17, and he's certainly learnt the ropes.
He's an amazing keyboard player, isn't he? Yeah, fantastic.
Keyboard player. And we have the masterful John Watterson on drums, and sometimes the wonderful Caroline Bowden on drums.
Yeah.
And Caroline is one of the tutors at Leeds Conservatoire.
You've got to be good to get in that band, haven't you?
I think so, yeah. and we're all, apart from Ryan, and Shez is about 6 foot. There was a time when... with me, Patrick, Caroline and Mike, none of us are very tall, and they used to call us the Diddy Club. But, you know, we had the ability to laugh at ourselves.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? So you've done, I mean, from, I suppose, what started out as a hobby playing in a pub, you've done pretty well, haven't you? How many gigs do you reckon you've done?
Do you know, I can't even begin to think. We did the Music in the Gardens for years with the great Brian Whitfield, who hosted that. We've played at Glastonbury. I ran a stage for 2 years at Glastonbury.
Tell us about that. What was that like?
Well, the first time it was great because there was no rain. And I took my mum as a 80th birthday present
for
my mum and dad. And they camped with us backstage, which was fantastic. And that was in 2010.
Yeah.
And then I did 2011 with Don, my dad. And it was like playing at a different festival because it never stopped raining. And I said after that, I said, I'm not doing it anymore.
So even for you, it was...
Oh, it was such hard work, Well, I was 50-odd then, and, you know, it's a young man's game, I think, doing those.
Well, great to do, isn't it? And a great honour to do it, isn't it?
Well, it's a good thing to put on your CV, man, isn't it?
Because previous to that, hadn't you been doing, like, nights around Sheffield? Or you put on events at Sheffield Jazz.
We used to do me and Andy Cook, one of our former drummers, we used to do we'd take over the Wortley Hall Hotel and sell tickets for Dinner with the Dizzies, and we'd do a talk on a great composer like Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, Rodgers and Hart. And we used to sell those out, and we'd do a talk. We'd all go in for dinner, and then we'd do a concert after, and everybody went to bed slightly worse for wear.
Good times again.
Again,
should we play Dizzy Club song? So what I wanted to talk actually was just about your writing skills. So you obviously most of you, what you're doing in a Dizzy Club is covers, but you've written some fantastic songs as well, haven't you?
Well, it's I don't call them covers. I call them interpretations of different songs.
Sorry, John.
Because we don't just do a lift of a song.
And
we'll do anything. I do some Irish Van Morrison tunes, and we do jazz standards. And yes, it's nice that I can put one of my own compositions and it sits comfortably next to a Cole Porter song or an Irving Berlin song.
Yeah, so let's play one of yours. This one you wrote, didn't you? This is Seaplane.
Seaplane, yeah. It's on our last album. We are on Spotify.
Yeah. Mr. Kicks, this album, yeah?
Mr. Kicks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So you're on Spotify and, yeah, have a listen.
Apple, all the platforms.
All the platforms. Yeah, so this is Seaplane, written by Mr. John Naylor.
Yep.
Tones of Mr. John Naylor there. What a beautiful voice you've got, John.
Thank you.
That's lovely, isn't it? When did you discover your voice? Singing voice, not you.
Well, when I started playing the guitar when I was a teenager.
Yeah? Did you know you were a good singer then, or?
I don't really know. I knew I could sing.
Do you know you're a good singer now?
I don't know. Am I?
Very good. Now, yeah. You've got that, it's beautiful husky voice, isn't it? Like singing from the chest thing, and it's lovely.
Well, I just sing. I sing. It comes natural, I suppose, to some people, doesn't it? But I enjoy doing it. I love playing music.
You've got modest, yeah.
I love music. I love it. I love most kinds of music.
Yeah.
my love now is classical music, really.
I
find it so therapeutic and so interesting that we're listening to music now that was written 400 years ago and it's still relevant now. You know, you can, people like Bach and Mozart and, you know, it's wonderful. And I quite often go to the Crucible to listen to the quintets and quartets and the small ensemble stuff.
Yeah, you know, you're always about out and about doing gigs and stuff, aren't you?
Going to gigs
and performances,
and playing gigs. If anyone wants to come and see me, who's listening to the radio, or come and see the Dizzy Club, we're playing. We don't do many free gigs, but we are playing in Leopold Square, which is in the centre of Sheffield, on the 13th of June, and then again on the 19th of July.
Yeah, so that's usually afternoon session, usually?
Yeah, 2 o'clock, well, 4 o'clock, usually.
And it's always a sunny day, so don't worry about that.
It's always a sunny day, The sun
when
shines
the Dizzy
on
comes
the
by.
Righteous,
yes.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, they're usually fantastic days, aren't they? It's good packed, fun day, and you've got all the bars there and places. And you've been doing that gig for many years, haven't you?
I think it's 12 years old now. So we have.
And then you've got, I mean, you're always available, or you look at bookings, aren't you? You're a bit picky now, aren't you? You kind of where you play. you can afford to be choosy. But if anyone wanted to inquire about booking a Dizzy Club, you've got a website
and
Facebook.
Yeah, we've got a website, dizzyclub.co.uk, whatever it's called. If you
they'll
just
find
put it in
they'll,
Google,
they'll find
it.
You've last few years, you've done a Christmas spectacular, haven't you?
We're doing another Christmas spectacular on the 30th of December at Crooks Social Club. And tickets are already on sale for that. We have some very special guests playing the lineup we've yet to announce, but we play, again, we only play with the best Sheffield musicians, and Sheffield has got so many fantastic musicians in so many genres of music, you know, from folk music, from blues, from jazz.
Yeah.
Everything.
So your indie rockers, all that,
The rockers,
electronic,
you know,
anything,
Electronic, yeah. We are so blessed. We have been for many, many, many years.
Yeah, and you're a big part of that, John. So we're coming towards the end. We're going to squeeze your last song in. I think for you, John, if you'd like to sum up, I think we've not done it justice, have we? But from going from Kimberwith to where you are now, what hopefully we've got a bit across of is it's been never been boring in your life, has it? You're always a man for adventure and fun.
Yes, I have. And for 31 years, I was married to a wonderful woman who, sadly, is no longer with me. And so many people thought the world of her.
Yeah.
We had a funeral at the cathedral last year.
Yeah, packed,
and there was
over
600 people there. And that's because she deserved it. And I miss her terribly.
I know.
Yeah.
So let's play your last song. Again, we'll dedicate it to Annie, but also to you, John. Thanks for being an absolute wonderful guest. We can come back anytime, John, and finish more of the stories. But, yeah, your last song, why are you picking this one, John? You've got the Tom Waits.
Well, I discovered Tom Waits when he first appeared on the old Grey Whistle Test, I think it was 1976, with an album called Small Change. And the next day, I went out and bought his album.
Okay.
This is called Whistling Past the Graveyard, and it's off the album Blue Valentine.
Thanks so much, John.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Ben. Magpie was a hooligan knife. I busted up his chaperone. Well, I'm about to call.
guacamole. Cook up a mess of mulligan. Get into a fight. Pass the path to graveyard. Stepping on a crack. Me and mother of a top of one night jack. You probably see me sleeping. How about a railroad tracks? We're going out to prison darkness. What about all that smoke coming?